And it's the idea of prepositions that I want us to look at. When you learn a foreign language, you obviously have the difficulty of the fact that you've got all these different words for things, you know, and not just that, but you don't just have to learn all the words for the things, but you have to learn genders, which we don't have in English anymore, and then you have to learn all the verbs and where you put them. In German, for example, the verbs often come at the end of a sentence, so they're all in a different position, and you know, you have to get your head around all those different kinds of things. But quite often, when you've mastered all that, it's these little words, prepositions, and Gary's going to put up, you know, some examples of those that tend to trip you up. So these little words like for and with and before and under and over and all the things like that, those little words tend to be the things that mark you out from a native speaker or somebody that's, you know, just learning a language. So there's some examples of prepositions. So, for example, you know, in other languages, they use different prepositions where we wouldn't expect them. So in French, if you're talking about getting married to somebody, you get married with somebody in French, se marier avec, okay, whereas we say you get married to somebody. If you're asking somebody a question in French, you have to ask to somebody, demander à quelqu'un. But, of course, if you translate that literally, you know, I'm going to ask to Gary something, the rest of you would think, they're not English. That's not what we say in English. So it's these little prepositional words that often trip you up when you're learning a language. And I wanted to look at some little prepositions that are really important for us as we celebrate Christ's birth. And the first preposition I want us to look at is with. Okay? It's a hugely significant preposition, for at Christmas time we remember one of the names given to Jesus, Emmanuel, which means God with us. You know, when the angel appeared to Joseph to assure him that Mary's fantastic story about conception through the Holy Spirit, you know, a virgin birth, which was just ridiculous, when the angel came to tell Joseph that that was actually true, he said that he'd got to name the baby Jesus, which means Yahweh, God is salvation. And in Matthew 1:22-23, it says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And one of the most amazing truths about the incarnation is that God came to earth in the form of a helpless baby to be with us. We celebrate the birth of Jesus today for many reasons, but one of the most encouraging truths about Christmas is that it means God is now with us. We're not alone. God saw that we needed rescuing. He saw that we couldn't follow the law in our own strength, and he didn't just send us a superhero savior. He came himself to be with us forever. The truth was prophesied hundreds of years before the birth of Christ by Isaiah, and it becomes the theme of the whole Bible, because we find it right there at the end as well in Revelation 21. God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. You know, there's a huge difference between being on your own and being with somebody. Stacy on Friday night was on her own giving birth, you know, in labor, and she was scared. And one of the things she said was, I'm on my own. I don't like it. I want Stephen to be with me. When somebody's with us, it makes all the difference. And as I said to her, I said, God is with you there, even though you feel all on your own. God is with us now. He's promised never to leave us, never to forsake us. He's going to be with us every single day of our lives and in every single circumstance for every single moment. God is with us. The next proposition I want us to look at is found in Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? For. It's just a very little word, but if God is for us, who can be against us? Again, the birth of Jesus demonstrates to us that God is for us. He's not against us. He's on our side. Even though our sins separated us from God, even though all the wrong things we've ever thought or done created that barrier between us and God, he didn't leave it like that. He took the initiative and sent his son to save the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God is not out to get us. He's not out to condemn us. He's out to save us. Getting hold of God's goodness and his favour and his love for us can take us a lifetime. But the truth is that even if you feel that nobody else is on your side, God is. Even if nobody else understands you, God does. God's rescue plan looks highly improbable as we look, you know, at that manger. We look at a helpless baby. But Graham Kendrick writes, "From heaven you came, helpless babe, entered our world, your glory veiled, not to be served, but to serve, and give your life that we might live." And this helpless baby grew to be the servant king, to give his life as a ransom for many. And what more proof could we have that God is for us than that he gave his Son to die for us? Paul says in Romans 5, "If by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Christ Jesus?" The next preposition that I want to look at is above, a positional preposition. God with us emphasizes the humility of Christ, that he left his throne, that he entered our world, the light of the world who stepped down into darkness. And it's important for us to grasp that Jesus took on our humanity, that he knows all about being human, and therefore he's thoroughly equipped to help us reign in life. We can't ever say that God doesn't know what it's like, because he does. But we also have to remember that Jesus is God as well as man. He's both fully God and fully human, and he's high and exalted. He's above all other gods. 1 Chronicles 16:25 says, "For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods." Psalm 95 verse 3 says, "The Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods." And when we think about that word above, we think automatically about position and place. Something's higher than something else. And God is higher than all other gods. He's above all, he's over all, he's higher than anything or anyone else. And we know that God is far greater and higher than anyone. God with us emphasizes the nearness of God, what they call his immanence. God above us emphasizes his sovereignty and his power and his majesty. The fact that he's not like us, he's greater than us, his transcendence. We need a friend and comforter in God, but we also need a rescuer, a deliverer, a savior. And Jesus can be all those things to us. God is also in us, that little word in. Christmas makes possible one of the greatest mysteries of all, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amazingly, God, who was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Christ, is now pleased to dwell in us. We're being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Paul's prayer for the Ephesians was that God, out of his glorious riches, would strengthen them with power through his Spirit in their inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. We might not be able to see him. We might not even be able to feel him at times. But the truth is that each one of us that believes is God's temple, and God dwells in our midst. Paul probably talks about being in Christ and Christ being in us more than any other prepositional phrase he uses. He says, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, and the new is here. He says that God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He says that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And the blessings of being in Christ and Christ dwelling in our hearts by faith are so great that, you know, we could go on forever about those. But there's a security, a protection about that little word in that helps us through all the storms of life. Psalm 27 verse 5 says, "In the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling." David says in Psalm 16, "Keep me safe, my God, for in you I have taken refuge." If we're in Christ and Christ is in us, then we're safe. And the last preposition that I want us to look at this morning is through. God works through us. God said to Abraham at the start of his journey of faith, I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. That was God's original plan for the world, fulfilled through his chosen people, continued through the church today. Jesus didn't come as a baby just so that we could sing happy birthday to him, so that we could stuff our faces with food and drink far too much. He came to be our saviour and deliverer. He entrusted to us the task of telling everybody else about this good news. He blesses us abundantly so that we can bless others. He wants his light to shine through us so that he, the light of the world, can make us the light of the world as well. With unveiled faces, we who contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. By our lives, by our words, by our actions, we're called to let the light of Christ shine through us. Through the blood of Christ, we've got redemption and the forgiveness of sins. We're reconciled to God through the cross. We've got access to the Father. And the so what of that, you know, well, what does that matter? It's that we're called to allow God to work through us as a result. In Colossians 3, Paul says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Our whole lives now are given over to God so that he can take our lives and work through them. The famous hymn captures that idea. It says, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in endless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and my gold. Not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart. It is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. So God is a God of prepositions. He's with us, Emmanuel. He's for us. He's on our side. He's above us, greater than us in every way, but still makes it possible for us to approach his throne of grace with confidence. He's in us, and we are in him. And he wants to work through us now and every day. Paul says in Romans 11, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him, and through him, and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen.